first, this is a comment that's been in the question and answer sessions for the last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I cannot accept your explanation regarding the brute beast, and this is regards to the human who was taken into slavery, kept in darkness in slavery, never allowed to learn anything about God's ways and methods and principles. And there's an Ellen White passage that says that God will just leave them unresurrected, as if they'd never been. Okay, and there's been a back and forth about that. To suggest the slave owner can be more powerful force over a slave than the healing that Jesus offers does not compute. Well, I agree. The slave owner is not more powerful. However, if they've never been offered the healing that Jesus offers, then how can he heal them? Am I also to understand that your response also applies to infants who die or are killed in childbirth before being given the opportunity to develop character and will also not be raised? Or is the difference is that the slave owner allowed their character to be formed and thus due to the circumstances will not be held accountable? Let everyone be convinced in their own mind. I'm not here to convince you or anyone else of anything. Well, if you're unconvinced, then remain unconvinced. Third question. Why would God give the Ten Commandments if he knows we can't keep them? Well, I guess I disagree with the premise of your question. Why do you think they cannot be kept? There's a guy named Jesus of Nazareth came and he kept them. Not only did he keep them, he wrote them. And also, when and not only did he keep them, but he empowers us to do the same.
Absolutely.
And when and why were the Ten Commandments given? Think about that. They're given in a specific time, in a specific place, for a specific group of people, for a specific purpose. And they function as a diagnostic instrument only. There's no power in the written law to save humans. There's no salvation in words on tablets of stone. But they are, however, a good distillation of God's design law, which are the source of life. And one of my favorite Ellen White passages is this, from Patriarchs and Prophets 3:64. If man had kept the law of God as given to Adam after his fall, preserved by Noah and observed by Abraham, there would have been no necessity for the ordinance of circumcision. Okay, we just spoke about circumcision earlier in the lesson, and it was a sign of a covenant. There would have been no need.
Yeah.
If they kept the knowledge and law of God,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been necessary.
Yeah, Adam would have been fine.
And if the descendants of Abraham, a.k.a. children of Israel, had kept the covenant of which circumcision was a sign, they would have never been seduced into idolatry in Egypt. Nor would it have been necessary for them to suffer a life of bondage in Egypt. They would have kept God's law in mind, and there would have been no necessity for it to be proclaimed from Sinai. Let that breathe.
Well, yeah.
If they kept a knowledge of God's law, He wouldn't have needed to carve it in tablets of stone. It would have been written in their hearts.
He's saying that we wouldn't have had the written Ten Commandments. She's saying it right there.
And there would have been no necessity for it to be proclaimed from Sinai or engraved upon the tablets of stone. And had the people practiced the principles of the Ten Commandments, there would have been no need for the additional directions given to Moses. All of these things were imposed on humanity. God imposed some laws at a certain time, for a certain group of people with a certain need for a certain purpose. They function as a diagnostic instruments. All right, last question. In the first chapter of the book, Patriarchs and Prophets, entitled Why Was Sin Permitted, which is I highly recommend for those who've not read that, find it online, read the first chapter, Why Was Sin Permitted. Fantastic chapter of writing. Mrs. White in several places refers to Christ as, quote, the Son of God. My question is, at that point in the history of the universe, before his incarnation as a human, was he, quote, the Son of God? I ask the question because if he is the Son of God, wouldn't that denote that he's not eternal, that as a son, he had a beginning point? I'm wondering if that title is really for him only after he was born and as a human being on the planet. And prior to that, it would have been more accurate to say that he was the intermediary of the Godhead to the other created beings in the universe, i.e. Michael to the archangels, etc. Well, I wasn't there, so I can't say for certain. But I do think the beings that we know as Jesus and the angels knew as the archangel Michael has been the consistent being to leave the infinity of the Godhead and enter into linear time to interact with his creation, revealing the Father's love and truth. The term son may have been given to him so just so the humans can relate, but it does not suggest that he had a beginning. I don't think it suggests that at all. If you're unclear, read first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Through him were all things were made. So the idea of her referring to him as the Son of God or him being referred to as the Son of God, I don't think it implies that he was created or that he had a beginning. So there you go. All right, that's all the questions. See you next week.